Okay, everybody, welcome back to Faded Tales, the podcast where we dust off the forgotten corners of the animal kingdom and shine a little light on the creatures you probably don't think about, but should, and you probably don't even know about in general. Look, today's cat guest star, instead of like a big, it's not a big cat, it's not a rare bird, it's not even a deep sea fish. No, today we're talking about an animal that looks like it walked straight out of a fantasy novel. Imagine like an anteater. You guys know what an anteater is, yeah? It's wearing a suit of medieval armor, though. That's weird, right? Well, that is the pangolin for you. You might have not heard of it, but you might have not even believed it was real. But the pangolin is one of the most trafficked, most misunderstood, and most fascinating mammals on Earth. And by the end of today's episode, you'll not only know what it is, but you'll also know about why it's vanishing. And why saving it might matter more than you think. So, what exactly is a pangolin? Let me break it down simply for you. So, a pangolin is a small to medium-sized mammal found in parts of Asia and Africa. There are around 8 different species of pangolins. Some live in the savannas, some live in the forests, some are tree dwellers, others are ground dwellers. Here's a big headline. Pangolins are the only mammals in the world completely covered in scales. Not fur, not feathers, scales. Made of keratin, which is the same stuff as your fingernails and hair. It's like Mother Nature couldn't decide between making a lizard or a mammal, so she just mashed the two together. Well, one threatened, pangolins do something iconic. They roll into a tight ball. It's like a real-life Pokemon move. Their scales lock together like chainmail armor. And even lions have been known to just give up trying to bite through. Imagine being so well armored that even the king of the jungle can't mess with you. But here's a twist. The armor, which evolved to stop natural predators, doesn't protect pangolins from us. Before we get there, though, let's talk about how they live. First off, they're nocturnal, so they spend their nights shoveling around, sniffing out ants and termites. Second, no teeth! Instead of a teeth, they have a super long sticky tongue, longer than their entire body sometimes. They slurp up insects like a vacuum cleaner. And actually, this is another fact, they are actually picky eaters. Different species specialize in different kinds of ants and termites. They basically carved out their own gourmet insect buffets. And here's a little image for you. When a baby pangolin is born, it climbs on its mother's tail and rides along like a scaly taxi. It's so cute, weird, and ridiculously enduring. Because I love it. Now, the pangolin isn't just a biological curiosity. It's also wrapped up in culture and myth. In some African traditions, pangolins are considered a symbol of luck and rain. People believed that spotting one was a good omen, and pangolin scales were sometimes used in rituals. In Asia, pangolins have been written about in traditional medicine for centuries. Their scales were, and in some places still are, believed to cure ailments ranging from asthma to infertility. Science tells us, nope, it's just keratin, same as chewing on your nails, but somehow a lot less glamorous. But these beliefs are powerful, and they have devastating consequences on the pangolins. Now, here's the hard truth. The pangolin is the most trafficked mammal in the world. That's right, the most trafficked mammal in the world. An animal you probably never even heard of is the most trafficked animal in the world. It's more trafficked than elephants, more than rhinos, and more than tigers. Hundreds and thousands of pangolins are captured every year, smuggled, killed, or stripped of their scales. Why is it that the case? Two big reasons. Traditional medicine demand for scales, and two, luxury meat markets, where pangolin and the meat is considered a delicacy or status symbol. Trade is massive, international, and highly organized. Authorities intercept shipments with tons of frozen pangolins, bags of scales weighing hundreds of pounds. And here's the kicker. Because pangolins are solitary and reproduce slowly, it doesn't take much to wipe out whole populations. This isn't just a conservation crisis. It is an organized crime problem. Wildlife trafficking makes billions of dollars every year, and pangolins are one of the top commodities. You might be thinking, okay, pangolins are interesting, but why should I care? First, there's the ecological role. Pangolins eat millions of insects every year. They're pest control experts. Without them, ant and termite populations explode, which can actually lead to damage of crops, trees, and even buildings. Second, pangolins are what scientists call an umbrella species. Protect them, end up protecting their entire ecosystem. Forests and savannas where countless other species live. And third, there's a moral agreement. Pangolins have survived for 80 million years. They were here before humans were even a thought. To let them vanish now because of superstition and status symbols, that feels like erasing a masterpiece before we even understood it. But it's not all bad news. In 2016, all 8 pangolin species were added to the highest level of protection under CITES, the Global Treaty on Endangered Species. That means the international trade is banned. Conservation groups are stepping up. Their sanctuaries in Africa and Asia are rescuing pangolins from traffickers, rehabilitating them, and even developing techniques to care for baby pangolins, which used to be nearly impossible. And maybe most importantly, awareness is growing. People who have never heard of pangolins 5 years ago are now learning their stories. Podcasts like mine, documentaries, and even pangolin plush toys are all over the place now. These things shift culture. Awareness is the first step to action. So, last year I talked about pangolins in season 2, and I really enjoyed it. Yeah, pangolins seemed really unique to me, because, like, I found them so cute. They were, like, cute little waddlers. That's what I found them to be. Around 2016 is when I found out what the pangolin was. The first time it was introduced was actually the wild crats again, because, surprise, the crab feathers are influential in animal and conservation. But yeah, that's the first time I found out what a pangolin was. I thought they were so cute in the animation. And then, in the 2016 Google, they released the pangolin Valentine's Day thing, and it was so cute because it showed, like, all the pangolins around the world, and, like, there's pangolins in Singapore, pangolins in China, pangolins in Africa. Oh, but yeah, there's pangolins all over the world. There's giant ones in Africa and China, and then there's the little itty bitty one that lives in the trees. It's so cute. So there's the ground pangolin, the Chinese pangolin, Sunda pangolin, the giant pangolin, the long-tailed pangolin, the white-bellied pangolin, the Indian pangolin, the Philippine pangolin, the Indo-Burmese pangolin. I believe the tiniest one is the Sunda pangolin. It's so cute, and it's like a little... It's so cute, I love it, I love it. I don't know why. You might think I'm weird, but I love him. They're so cute. Anyway, so another way I found out is, like, on Netflix, there is a pangolin documentary that I highly recommend, and it's called, like, Kulu's Journey. And it's pretty much literally just, like, pangolin with his human foster dad, and it's so cute, but it's also sad at the same time. Anyway, there's that one, and I learned a lot about the trafficking. I think it was the Asia documentary by David Attenborough on, like, trafficking. There was a whole episode or something where there was a pangolin trafficking, and they were stopping the pangolin trafficking, and they were doing interviews about how they stop it, and, like, and they caught one guy, and it's, like, it's a never-ending cycle and all that. It was really interesting, and I wish I remembered what it was, because, like, showed, like, the actual thing. It might have been this documentary, Kulu's Journey, but anyway, I love it so much, because, like, oh my god, it's, like, an adventure. Anyway, so the Chinese pangolin is native to northern Indian subcontinent, northern parts of Southeast Asia, and southern China. It is listed as critically endangered, like I've said, and it's been that since 2014, as the wild population has estimated to have declined by more than 80% in 3 pangolin generations, equaling to 21 years. It is threatened by poaching for the illegal wildlife trade. Characteristics of the Chinese pangolin, it has a prehensile tail. I told you about the tail with, like, how the young pangolin clings to. The male pangolins have been observed to allowing female and baby pangolins to share his burrow. And also the Chinese pangolin is the only one that has a prehensile tail. But yeah, there's a lot of taxidermy with the pangolin. Anyway, let's do fun facts. I'll do fun facts for you guys. A single pangolin could eat up to 70 million insects in a year. Pangolins are more closely related to cats, dogs, and bears than to armadillos and anteaters, surprisingly. The animals close their ears and nostrils to keep out insects while eating, and a pangolin's scales make up about 20% body weight. I guess I can tell you what I do to figure out what animal I do. So pretty much I figure out an animal, I normally double check, and then I write the script down by looking up all the animal facts for you guys so you don't have to, and then I can just write it down in a sense. I really, really, really wanted to do slobs. I'm saving that for October 20th because that is International Sloth Day. I did penguins because I was like, I already did tigers, I already did this, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't think I did penguins, let me do this. I didn't check on the Radio Laurie website, and I ended up doing penguins again. So this is penguins 2. I guess I can also figure out, do you guys think I should make an Instagram for Faded Tales so you guys follow? I know some people do that, but I don't know if I should, because I only have one more year. And I'm thinking, yeah, next week might be the dugong. As I'm recording this, this next week might be the dugong. If you don't know what that is, you'll learn later. It's also probably known as the sea cow. Might have heard that. By the way, all of these animals I've gotten from, like, the billboard I did at, like, Laurie Animal Rescue. So you might have actually not known this. But yeah, I'm doing all these. I did the vaquita already, so I couldn't do that for you guys. I did the red panda already. I did the whale shark already, so I couldn't do that. That was right off the board. I can do gorilla, I can do Galapagos penguin, I can do the last one, the gibbon. I can do those. So yeah, it might be the dugong, it might be one of those. Well, anyway, here's that I hope, what I hope you take away. Penguin is not just a scaly oddball hiding in the dark. It's a survivor, an insect warrior, a symbol, and it's a, if we let it be, a reminder that humans can change course before it's too late. Because if the penguin fades away, we lose more than just an animal. We lose one of the Earth's strangest, most unlikely success stories. If you want to help, check out like organizations like the Penguin Crisis Fund or Save Penguins. I think that those are ones I have listed. I'm not sponsored by them or anything. I'm just listing what you could do. Even small donations or anything, just spreading the word makes a difference. You don't have to do anything. But like, this has been Faded Tales. I'm Zoya, and thank you for joining me on this journey into the hidden lives of creatures we can't afford to forget. Till next time, keep your eyes open for the tales that are fading and ones we can still save. Goodbye.